Well, the season is over. Trophies have been handed out. And once again, we are back to discuss Roma on La Magicast. Welcome back, everybody. This is Greg, and I have Julian and Alex. Julian, Alex, how are you guys doing?
Good, good. How are you, Greg?
Good, good.
Excellent, excellent. Much better, we shall say, anyway. So, as I mentioned as we started, we're going to talk a little bit about the season in review as the season has come to an end. And there's lots to discuss, lots to go over, but to kind of kick off the postseason talks, if you will, and one thing I want to get out before we get into it, a lot of people have been asking if we are going to continue to do the show throughout the summer, and the answer is unequivocally yes. So stay with us throughout the summer with all sorts of Roma news. I think it'll be an exciting one. But we're going to start off our postseason or after-season event by going over some of the best and worsts that Roma had to put forth this year. Julian, why don't you kick us off with the first topic?
Indeed. So we all have these spreadsheets here in front of us. Greg was nice enough to compile a list of things we should go over. And I just wanted to say in general comments, doing this list reminded me of how shitty this year really was for us. thank you for that, Greg. I think the first topic we're going to cover is game of the season, and we divided that up into two categories, Serie A and in Europe. So let's go Serie A first, boys. And for me, I think I'm going to go with 2-1 Udinese on this one, because it was the first time I really thought maybe we had a genuine chance at the Champions League.
Right.
And of course, the last minute winner by Francesco was just jaw droppingly. Reminded me of how great, Francesco really is, really can be. And, you know, he's definitely still not past it. So it was great to see Francesco take the team on his shoulders once again. But what did you guys think?
I cheated on this one a little bit.
Classic.
Actually, I cheated on a lot of these, I think. But I kind of looked at the 5 in a row over Lazio kind of thing. As a possible silver lining to take into it. So I guess the last win that gave us the fifth straight win over Lazio, not a whole lot of greatness to celebrate when you look at just their campaign games. But if you look back, being a Roma fan, as passionate Roma fan as we are, we know that those games have an extra weight to them. And, you know, the fifth was kind of like the nail in the coffin in the you can't beat us mantra. So that's kind of what I took out of it. But I did wrestle with that Udine game. So good call, Julian.
I'm between the Lazio-Roma game and the Bari game. Two different games, of course. The Bari game because of the craziness. But the Lazio-Roma game, I would pick if I would remember a game that had everything. It was a tight game. Lazio had a lot of chances. Roma had a lot of chances, but we won 2-0. And it was in a difficult period where I think Lazio were second or first in the charts. So I was just surprised that we played so well. And when we won the game, I mean, it was, you know, such a delightful feeling. So, but again, I can't forget the Bari game. But maybe it's because it's so recent that I remember it so well. But
right.
Those two games for me stands out the most.
Yeah, the Bari one was another great late finish. That one was by Rossi, and that one was just a few weeks ago actually, and. You know, that's when I thought our chances at fourth are really just going to end. And then Rosie comes at the end, bundles in a winner, and then it turned out to be false hope, but it was another week of hope. So game of the season, Europe, I think this might be the one area I think we all have to agree.
Yeah.
I'd be Bayern. Shocked. Yeah, it's got to be the 3-2 over Bayern. Are we in consensus there?
Yeah. I don't know how it could be anything else. And even if you just based on some of the other wins were, you know, pedestrian wins. I mean, there were games that they should have won and they did. There's nothing really, you know, at least nowhere near the spectacular level that this game was. So
right. It had it all. It had the comeback. So. You know, second half comeback. Menez at his best. Borriello at his best. Ranieri football at its best. And I mean, I was looking over some of the other Champions League games. We had quite a few stinkers this year as well. So it's really the only, I think it's the only option for us. So that's nice. We're all in agreement. And let's go to worst game of the season in Serie A. For me, this one is easily, and I think we're all going to differ on this one, but for me, it's 4-3 Genoa. No contest. We saw lots of shit this year against Palermo, against Brescia, but to be 3-0 up against a team like Genoa, which so rarely scored this season, and then to lose it entirely and to capitulate that spectacularly, I mean, it was the game that cost Ranieri his job, and probably rightly so, because the ship was sinking before that, but that was just the epitome of how bad our season was this year, I think.
Yeah, no, I actually had that same thing. I mean, they had been playing terribly prior to that week, and this was kind of like the, you know, all right, they're turning the corner, they're going to start playing better, this is going to be the first 3 points that's going to lead to, you know, consecutive wins. And really make a strong march to getting back in Champions League contention, and it just didn't happen. And it was, you know, in many, many ways, it was the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of the season. And I actually did have a strong second place combo of the opening first 2 weeks of the Cesena draw, and then the thrashing to Cags 5-1, and. You know, I mean, when you look at
the AKA the game that that Nicolas Berdiso tried to commit homicide in.
Yeah. Yes, he just he's on prison release, work release right now from jail. But when you look at how they've started the last couple of years and how that's, you know, we always point to that like, oh, those early season losses. I really wanted them to come in and start this season so strongly. And here they have a team just up from, you know, from Serie B, and then they have Cagliari, which, you know, is a team on most days they should beat. And 2 weeks in, they've got 1 point. And that, to me, was just kind of the, you know, the tone setter for the season. But all that being said, they still could have turned it around. They had a 3-0 lead, and they blew it. So I'm... My number one choice is same as you, Genoa.
Yeah, same here.
Wow.
Although I would mention the Sampdoria game away when we got the red card. I think I got more angry from that game compared to the Genoa game.
I just didn't put that in contention for two reasons. One, we tend to get red cards, so I wasn't too shocked. And two, exactly. It was Sampdoria that beat us. So I was kind of expecting that.
I mean, you might as well throw the Brescia game in there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and the Palermo game was pretty bad as well. Let's go to worst game of the season in Europe. This wasn't our biggest loss, the one I picked. It was 2-3 to Shakhtar. The reason I picked it is because, as you guys predicted, we really did, I think, underestimate Shakhtar, and we conceded about 3 goals in 15 minutes at home, which was just awful. And, I mean... As soon as that third goal goes in, you know there's a mountain to climb against a team that hasn't lost at their new stadium in years. And that was just heartbreaking to watch it live, to see all 3 goals go in. When we had started out, we opened the scoring. It looked like we could take a nice victory away, but it wasn't meant to be. So that was really the downfall of us in the Champions League, I think.
Wow, and possibly the greatest run of great minds think alike. I have the Shakhtar game again, and the notes I had were almost word for word what you said. I typed 3 goals against away in a home, and home is the death knell. I mean, it wasn't a situation that they couldn't overcome, all things being even, because, you know, in essence they're only down by 1 goal in the aggregate. So they win 2-0, they win. However. You know, they just put themselves in such a huge hole, and it was terrible. Microcosm of the, you know, the whole campaign.
I mean, Roma being Roma, we always humiliate ourselves in the group stage. So I think it was the Roma Basel game we lost at home.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, we're used to that stuff in the group stage, lose at home and win away. So my choice was also the Shakhtar game.
I swear, we didn't do this together. We all did this
separately. Yeah, I know, right? You think we just all sat at a table and like, hey, let's pick this one.
Yeah, it's if we're going to mention really shitty games, how about the opener we had against Bayern where Totti came out afterwards and criticized Ranieri for playing essentially Catenaccio? And we ended up losing 2-0, but I think it was either the opening or the second goal. Obviously, there's only two goals. Was a Mueller strike, and it was just like a wonderful shot. But afterwards, I remember Totti came out, and that was, I think, the first real open criticism of Ranieri while we're going through season memories. And he was talking about how, you know, Ranieri basically went out with a game plan to not lose, and he didn't want to play in a team like that. And, I mean, part of it was pretty rightful criticism. If that's our ambition, is just to not lose, what are we doing in the Champions League anyway? That was also a terrible, terrible game. Now, the scoreline wasn't too bad. Losing 2-0 to Bayern is not the end
of it. And they were both late, right? Weren't they both late?
They were both 60th minute? Yeah, they reminded me of Inter-Liverpool in the Champions League a few years ago, where Inter held out really well. I think it was away to Liverpool. And then they conceded 2 at the very end. And, I mean, that was pretty much it for them. But, you know, that was just it was awful to watch, and it was a pretty bad scoreline as well. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. I really do think this time we're going to have different answers here. Montella or Ranieri, pick one. Let's hear what you guys have to say first. Alex, Montella or Ranieri?
I don't think it's weird that you say we should have different answers. It's obvious that Montella got more of out of the boys when he took over than Ranieri did, but obviously the players were tired of Ranieri, so Montella, obviously.
Greg?
Perhaps I'm not as obviously in touch as Alex is. I kind of had an incomplete for both. I don't necessarily think that Montella got more out of them. I think he was maybe, you know, putting them in positions that they're more comfortable with, and therefore they got out of them what they always get out of them. But, you know, obviously even that wasn't enough because they had some clunkers down the end when they really needed, you know, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, you know, every week in order to really nail that fourth spot. And they had opportunities. They were in position to do so, and they had games that they lost that they couldn't afford to. So, you know, this year, looking at the decisions made, tactics used, personnel calls, I don't think either one of them really was spectacular.
Damn it. Greg stole my answer. I wrote down neither.
Yes.
I would agree with Alex, if I could say this, that Montella – definitely, we seem to have a different mentality. Towards the end of Ranieri's reign, nothing seemed to work. And when Montella came in, things were different. But when push comes to shove at the end of the day, neither of them were the right choice for us. I'm quite glad that we're being linked with a lot of coaches and no one's really talking about Montella staying, because I think that would be our biggest mistake of the summer, would be to keep someone like Montella. Not that he's not a good coach, or not that he couldn't be a good coach, but he's not the right coach today. We need someone who will deal with, you know, not just cronies, who will sort out the squad. We need someone tactically flexible. And, you know, Montella, when we needed the points, he also fell short. So if I have to pick between the two coaches, I'd choose Montella. But which one I liked, I didn't like really either of them. And I'm glad they're both gone, hopefully.
I would say that Montella did quite good. I mean, I think you're both a bit too harsh with the guy. He made decisions, tough decisions, and he also, I like the way he took control in the Trigoria.
Alex, I'd have to disagree. I really don't think he made tough decisions. I mean, his decision was revert everything back to Spalletti. That's not really, you know, he benched all of the new players. He brought Perotta back, Totti back to his old role, you know.
Yeah.
The bench, Borriello on the bench, it wasn't really a tough choice. Pizarro came back on, which was great. I love seeing Peck play, don't get me wrong, but it's not
I mean, when I say tough decisions, I mean he benched Totti the first game when everyone was expecting Totti to play and start, and he also made substitutions as a reaction to how a game developed. So I think he did the right thing, often the right thing. And when he went back to the Spalletti formation, it's because that's the formation Roma knew the best and had the players for. So I don't think we can criticize him for that, because it worked. And I believe if you had Montella with that system from the start of the season, we would probably have more points than we ended up with. So
what was I would know our league position when Ranieri left. Where were we in the table?
10th number.
Greg, do you have that website?
Yeah. What was the week that he left?
It was
after Genoa, right?
Yeah, right after the Genoa. I would just be curious, because we finished sixth. I'm not sure we were terribly far behind sixth once Ranieri left. So
we were in sixth.
Yeah, so, which exactly my point. Montella came in, and when push comes to shove, he just kept us exactly where we were. And we were on a downward spiral, and he rightened out the ship, but we didn't end up any higher on the table anyway. So for me, it was kind
of... I disagree, because I think it's unfair to rate Montella, compare him to Ranieri's 30 games and Montella's 8 or 9. I don't know how many he got. But sure, he did okay. He didn't do great, but I think he did better than okay. He did good. That's my review of Montella.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll agree to disagree there. I see your point. I'm just not sure I fully agree with it. So let's move on to the next one. We got goal of the season, Serie A. Greg, how about you start us off with this one? What'd you have?
I had Totti's 205th.
Great shout. I didn't even think of that one.
The way I my little notes I have here, I said, I think you can spell perspective BAGGIO. when you look at, you know, such a big fan of Baggio's and everything that he accomplished and in the ways that he did it. And when you look at Francesco equaling that, I thought that was just spectacular. You know, we're talking about a free kick that was in his zone. Looked like a little conversation before the kick is taken. They decide to skip the traditional layoff by Pizarro, and Totti fires it straight on and straight in. And it's just an incredible thing. Not incredible because, you know, we all know and appreciate the skills that he has, but still it's that perspective again. It's linking him and Baggio as two of the best number 10s of many great Italian number 10s. I'm not trying to make any sort of one better than the other comment, but just linking the two with the others is extremely significant in my opinion.
Damn. I just had goal of the season in general. Like, I forgot about both.
All right, so if it's in Europe, just hold on to that one, and we'll do you first for Europe, and we'll go straight to Julian for his in Italy.
Okay, yeah, sure. So I had Vucinic versus Inter early on in the season, which was a very, very late winner. I still remember it perfectly. And I chose that one because I forgot about Totti's goal, to be perfectly honest, but also because I'm pretty sure last time we played Inter before that was the 3-3 draw. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I think that's correct.
I think so. And anyway, I mean, the point was that we hadn't really beaten them in a while. And, every time we play Inter, we tend to lose and play poorly. So to finally win was great. And of course I love it when Vucinic scores. So that was another reason I had that one down.
I had actually forgotten about that when I was going through my list. That's a good call. But was the Luca Toni one second or first of the,
I think that's right. Cause I'm almost positive the 3-3 one I'm thinking about had Balotelli playing, and that must've been two seasons ago. So I'm really far behind.
No, I think 3-3 was, oh, yeah, you're right. I think,
yeah.
Well, I don't know.
It was the Luca Toni from the Taddei, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Luca Toni sung. So we had
beaten. Either way, it was a great goal at an unbelievable moment. So good call.
Exactly. And let's go to goal of the season Europe. Alex, you start us off with this one.
Borriello against Bayern München at home.
Exactly what I had.
But the menace build up and Borriello going down, making sweet love with the ball and, you know, nice.
Yeah. That whole play was just superb.
Exactly. You know, and it's kind of fitting because I think that may have been the last time that those two really played well, at least together. And yeah, it was definitely a fantastic goal, and we all three of us had that one picked.
Excellent. Let's go to overall grade for the season. I'll start us off with this one. I would give us a D, slightly above failing, because we didn't. I don't think we failed, but we definitely missed all of our objectives. You know, coming second last season, we picked up Borriello. The other teams had strengthened, but we really should have been able to make a decent Scudetto run. We never did. We barely even made a Champions League run until the very end of the season, and that was, you know, like a dead squib. We crashed spectacularly in the Champions League against a team. I honestly believe we could have beaten them had we not underestimated them. They're a very good team. But so are we on our day. So overall, there was nothing really redeemable about this season except for Totti. And so Totti is the only thing keeping this from being an F in my book, because I think pretty much everyone else had an average to horrible season, somewhere in that range. Totti, definitely out of that. Mexes, maybe, and maybe Peck, but that's about the farthest I'll go with it. So I'd say about a D.
So D, what's that in the point scale from 1 to 10? Is that a 3 or?
A 1 to 10, I'd give us like a 4.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess that's probably about accurate.
So what about you, Greg? How'd you grade us?
Amazingly enough, I gave us a D as well.
Wow.
You know, no Champions League is not acceptable for this team. We barely made Europa League. And if we didn't have that, then obviously this season is a complete F. But I think when you can't look at it, at least in my opinion, in a vacuum and say, you know, this is what Roma's performance was, and therefore I give them this grade. I think when you look at the entire landscape in Italy, this season was very takeable, and they had a really good chance if they just, you know, didn't play poorly. It's not like they had to play above their abilities in order to have won this year. They just needed to not suck, and they sucked for large periods of time. So, therefore, you don't make Champions League, you don't win the league, you barely make Europa, therefore you D.
Alex?
Yeah. Well, it's the same here. 4 out of 10, so that's a D from me as well. Mostly due to we didn't lose any important assets last summer. And given the great run we had at the season before, it looked so, you know, everything were set up to make an even better season this year, but we failed miserably. So, yeah, D.
Yeah, so at least we all agree there. The season was pretty shitty. Let's go. We also did worst player of the season, and we broke it down by position. And overall, I think is the first one listed here, but let's save that for the end, because obviously that'll be like the crowning achievement of Suckitude. So let's start with goalie. Worst goalie of the season for us. How about Alex? You lead us off on that one.
Donny.
No explanation required?
No explanation required.
Gregory.
I put incomplete again. Wow. I said nobody played well enough or long enough, so by default maybe Labonte, just because.
Well, that's interesting. I actually had Donny written down, but I'm gonna change it, and it'll make sense by the end of this. I'm gonna go with Sergio, because as bad as Donny was, we kind of knew he was bad, and with Julio Sergio coming off the year he had last year, his performances this year were borderline unacceptable. You know, just that kind of fall is not something I can quite understand nor tolerate. So, just for the sake of having more variety as well, I'm going to go with Sergio on that one.
But to Sergio's defense, at least he made a 3-pointer save against Lazio when we won the away game.
Oh, don't worry. Donny's not off the hook. I'll get to him by the end of this, I promise. How about Defender? What did you guys have? We might actually agree on this one. How about Gregory? What'd you get?
May seem a little harsh, but I picked Juan. I think it just seemed like every mistake he made seemed to lead to a goal in a crucial moment. And yes, I am holding him to a higher standard, but he should be. And for most of the season, he was inadequate as a center back in general, but far inadequate for what somebody of his skill set should be able to do.
You agree, Alex?
You know, if you, it depends. I mean, I can agree with you, Greg, that I could pick Juan just because he didn't deliver in the way he did or we would expect him to, but he's still were far more reliable than Riise and Cassetti. So those the fullbacks were our Achilles heel and always will be. So even though Riise and Cassetti were better with Montella and the Spalletti system, I still think that those guys had a horrible season.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Greg on this one. I also picked Juan for pretty much the same exact reason. You know, falling from, like I said with Sergio, falling from the height of last year to the level he was at was just unacceptable in my eyes. So I don't want to rehash what Greg said. I agreed with just about all of it. Let's go to midfielder. I'm going to start off this one. And again, I think I used this wrong. I kind of used this as the most disappointing player of the season. I actually picked De Rossi here. Because a lot of the time, and we've said this before, but he looks so unenthusiastic out there, so uninspired. It's not the De Rossi of old. And to be honest, if we have to sell him to make money, if Man U really want him, if he needs a new challenge, I will let him go and I will not be upset. Because I think it's best for everybody at this point.
Yeah, I had him as well. It pains me to say it, and let's just hope that Capitano Futuro means that we're just going to look to the future and not really focus on his recent past because it's been terrible, and our midfield was lacking a lot of overall high-end talent, and he's the one guy that can actually provide that, and it was lacking.
I picked Sade. I know why we play him, you know, even I, if I were the coach taking over for after Ranieri, I would probably play him as well because we don't have a real alternative to him. He's the hardworking, important tracking back player out there, but he sucks and. It shows because every attack he's involved in, he has destroyed. To his credit, he has saved us from conceding a lot of goals as well. But still, he's not good enough. He's never been good enough. And if running is the only thing he can, he should be in the Olympics and not in Serie A.
Yeah, I just want to add, today is, I think, our Pandev. You know, Inter have Pandev, and to me, Pandev has always seemed like a crap player, and not just because he's from Lazio, but for Inter especially, he does mostly nothing, and then sometimes he does really well, like, you know, the assist against Bayern, just like Tadej gave us the assist against Inter, but I can't help but think that if both teams just had a decent winger playing where those guys were, they would acquire so many more points than they would have lost by replacing them. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, I doubt anyone would argue that Inter with Sanchez, let's say, would be better, worse off than Inter with Pandev. So he's our Pandev. I don't like him. I can see what he brings to the team, but I don't think that he's the best option out there by any means. So let's go to forward then. And for forward, I actually picked Menez, and this was really tough because at various times during the season, all of our forwards sucked. But for Jimmy to become as reluctant, like petulant as he did by the end of the season, to the point where Montella didn't even like choose him off the bench against Milan, tells me a lot more about him than Montella. And I know I've read a lot of articles. Chris from the Roma Offside, you know, disagrees. I remember his article right after we crashed out was that, you know, this is proves Montella can't be coached. to me, this proves that Menez shouldn't be a player at this club. If he's going to become a whiny baby because he sits on the bench, then leave. That's not how it works. You know, you have to earn your spot on the team consistently, and everyone gets benched at points. But to not, for the coach to not even pick you in a game we had to win tells me everything about him. So for that reason alone, I chose Menez.
Well,
Alex, what did you
I completely understand your argument, but still, he was our best player the first half of the season.
No question, and first half of the season, brilliant, but just the way the season ended with his agent coming out and talking and him being so petulant, for me, it kind of had to be him, because Borriello, I think, did great, and he complained on the bench, sure, but he also didn't do it the same way Menez did, and Totti, of course, is Totti. Vucinic was the other candidate I had in my mind, but he didn't quite have the same meltdown that Menez did. Also, I have a soft spot for him.
Let's see. You know, I guess it goes part and parcel. I actually had, you know, a first half Adriano, and by virtue of the organization, I know it was kind of like a no risk thing. But I think just at the end of the day, the distractions were not worth what the absolute nothing that he gave us. So, you know, just by failing to do anything, he certainly fits that bill. And second half, I'm going to say Borriello. I mean, I think he failed to show up when given chances. He, you know, struggled in the second half mightily. And now I've said this before, so I'm going to back up my previous statements that I think he needs a certain type of team around him in order for him to succeed. Once they went to the 4-2-3-1, that type of team did not exist for him. And I know Alex is very fond of saying, if you're going to put Borriello out there, you have to put Menez out there. And I agree with that, but that makes him not a good player for this team.
Interesting. Alex, what would you say?
In general, Adriano, of course, but given you know, the circumstances he left and the last half of the season between Borriello, Totti, and Menez, do we even have any other strikers beside them?
I mean, we'd probably have to go down to the Primavera to pick one.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, I think they all did reasonably well. Although, like we touched, Borriello and Menez being our best players in the first half of the season, Totti perhaps being in his first form ever, and then a complete turnaround in the second half. Much to do, I believe, with the change of the coach. So between Borriello and Menez, Borriello, Greg, his arguments were, you know, they were good. So if he didn't fit into our system when we played the Spalletti formation, so too bad for Borriello. I mean, I wouldn't say he's all to blame for that one, but he had to be sacrificed, and he didn't complain when he was sacrificed by Montella. So, you know, and maybe I should say Menez, just because he was a whiny bitch in the end.
Well, that's why I chose him. But let's go overall, worst player of the season, the number one worst player in your mind. Greg, go.
This may be a little controversial. Yeah. Obviously, it's going to be somebody that we've already named. And I've just got DDR's melancholic tendencies dragging the entire team down. DDR. I think his performances have just been bad enough that it just, you know, they're not helpful. You know, there's just so much, like, sadness and anger and frustration. you know, whether it's taking a card, taking two cards, getting a red, throwing an elbow, which, of course, he's come out and said that he's done with elbows because
I want to interject really quickly. When I read that, I was shocked because that makes it seem like he consciously decided to throw the elbow and that it wasn't just like a moment of madness thing. How can you come out and say, like, I'm done with elbows? So he chose to do them before.
Yeah.
He willingly did that. Like, that angers me to no end, to know that to say, like, I'm done with elbows just implies that before he wasn't done with elbows. You know what I mean? It's not like this was just a spontaneous action. It makes it seem like they were planned out.
Yeah, he's whatever his personal issues are, he needs to just drop that crap real quick because it's not cute anymore. You know, he really needs to get himself together and decide that he wants to play. He's obviously out of the international picture right now, which, you know, even as he wasn't playing great, if you take it back a year ago and said that by this time he'd be out of the national team, that, you know, we'd probably all laugh or cry. You know, I'm not sure which. And it's just, he needs to just get himself together. He needs to realize that he wants to play again. And he needs to have fun while he's out there. And I think until he does that, he's going to continue to be a problem for this organization.
Yeah.
Would you pick Alex?
So that's why I made him my worst.
Y'all guys, you have so, you know, I picked Donny just because.
Oh, damn it! No, I picked Donny.
Okay, I thought you had some, you know, other reasons to pick your players besides they just suck. Since, I mean, I agree with Greg. I also could have picked De Rossi for his total loss of, you know, control, or I don't know, he lost his head too many times to count. But I chose Donny just because he's Donny, and, you know, we knew it and we were afraid of it, and do I need to explain why I picked Donny? No, I don't.
I fully agree. I picked Donny too, and that's the reason I changed my goalie, because I didn't want these to overlap. I thought Julio Sergio and Donny were both poor enough to warrant spots on here. Julio Sergio wasn't the worst overall player of the season for me, because like you said, he did have at least one save. I honestly cannot remember Donny making a save that meant anything, and I'm not even kidding. The difference between, like, say, Donny and a great goalie like Neuer, who, you know, single-handedly led Schalke to the semifinals pretty much of the Champions League, it's like night and the brightest day ever. It's unreal how many points we don't get because we have a goalie that just sucks. And I was frustrated every time he played. I had no faith in him, and he never made me once question my opinion about him. So I totally agree with Alex on this one.
Fun. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Best player of the season, goalkeeper. This is going to be a tough one. I picked Laban because he was kind of decent when he played, and he didn't disappoint me as much as everyone else. So I went with Laban.
Yeah, this was a tough one because, again, they're like, it was hard to pick the worst. It's kind of equally as hard to pick the best because they just did not have a great year. I'm going to give Julio Sergio the nod just for the Brescia game alone.
Alex?
Playing with the broken or whatever he did there, with crying and all that. You know, it took a lot of guts to stay out there and to give it his best. So I figure I'll throw him a bone for that.
Yeah. Sergio Harris as well.
Okay. Defender. Let's go move on to defender. I had Mexes because I thought Mexes was very good up until his injury. You know, I'm kind of mad about him leaving. I understand that's not entirely his fault. But in a year where most of our defenders completely sucked, if not, you know, if not mediocre to sucky, Mexes was most of the time good to mediocre. So I think he's my choice.
I would say Mexes as well. But in my opinion, he was poor last season and was benched because of it, and I would give Bordiso the nod just because he's the only reliable defender we have. The only defender I rely on.
How shocking is that? That Nicolas Berdiso is our most reliable defender. Inter fans are laughing at us right now.
That's all right. They can afford to. It's perfectly slated after you two. I actually had the two of them because with Filou, you know, he reclaimed his spot and he made not re-signing or moving him last summer seem like a significant error by how well he played. But again, you know, wasn't out there the entire time. Berdiso, the guy's got the same passion, and he cares just as much. He doesn't have the tenure, you know, the time spent that Philippe does, but you can tell the guy plays hard. And like Alex said, you know, as much as Mexes played better than he did last year, and as much as Juan fell off the face of the earth in a lot of games, Berdiso may not have been as high or as low as either one of those two, but he gives you that steady line. Really, the exception of some, you know, the early game or two, he really just kind of gets out there and does his thing. And when all three are in the lineup, he gives you that stability on the flank as well. So I really felt like, you know, that has to count for a lot.
Alrighty. That's a good shout. How about midfielders, guys? What do you have here? I chose Peck myself. Only because when he finally did come back from his mysterious injury / benching, he kind of did look like the Peck of old. Our midfield really isn't the same without him. He directs play like nobody else can. And given De Rossi's pretty bad year, I thought he especially shone alongside him. It wasn't a vintage Peck year by any means, but it was a Peck year, and Peck years are always good.
Well, that's the problem, though, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing coming out of our midfield at all. When a half season, you know, injured or on the bench, Pizarro is our choice for best midfielder. That says so much about A, why I picked DDR as the overall worst, and B, how nobody else in the midfield is anything other than an also ran. You know,
who did you pick for this, Greg? Did you also have Peck?
Yeah. I mean, there's just nobody else that's you know. I love Perota. The guy is a work rate like nobody else, but that's all he's got. Same with Tade. Simone can provide some defense, whereas Tade can provide some very funny, how could you call a foul on that after I chopped the guy's leg off? Look, but that's it. I mean, all those other central midfielders, Greco and Brigi.
Well, Greco, I would give a special half shout to Greco because I think he had a very good beginning of the season. But if this is the best thing out of our Primavera in the last 5 years, we need an overhaul down there.
Agreed. I mean, the only other person who I thought giving it to, but I just don't know if he had enough time on the pitch, was Simplicio, because pretty much when the guy was out there, he never did poorly. He had some games where he did really well.
I forgot about Simplicio. I might have given him the nod, too, because even though he was benched under Montella, I agree. I thought he was like an even better Peralta. He ran, but he also scored goals. And
right.
He was very good in the beginning of the season as a Trequartista, as a central midfielder. He did pretty decently no matter where he went. So also, I'd give a half shout to him.
Yeah, and one more thing on best defender. I thought about giving a nod to Loria. Two goals, two games. That's all I'm saying.
Let's leave it at that. Alex, how about you?
No, I had Pizarro as well. The same reasons you guys chose him.
It's like it's by default, right?
It's got to be. Not
so much because of how great he was, but nobody else really did anything.
I agree. And so I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that our forward and overall picks of the year are probably all the same player for all three of us.
Guillermo Berdiso?
Yes, Guillermo Berdiso. It's gotta be Francesco Totti. It really, I honestly can't think of a single player that deserves it half as much. So do we agree there for a completely obvious reason?
Yeah, I mean it's like, you know, if you're not a Roma fan and you're listening to this right now, you're thinking that we're a bunch of fanboys picking our idol. But you know what? He's our trequartista. He's our prima punta. He's our second striker. And he does that all at the same time.
He's, you know, he's the only one who can, even at the age of 34, possibly still be considered world class. He's got something like 14 goals in the last 18 games of the season. He almost single-handedly dragged us to a Champions League spot. He passed Baggio's scoring record. If we had anybody on the team half as talented as Totti, we should have gotten four easily. The problem was Totti was like a knight in shining armor surrounded by warriors carrying, you know, wooden swords. There was no comparison whatsoever.
And that's been the case the last, like, 6-7 years.
Although Vucinic gave him a nice run for his money. But even so, Vucinic has never been to Roma half, a sixteenth of what Totti has. And this year, again, it was Totti. It's always Totti. And I love him, but I really wish we had somebody who could share the responsibility, and it hasn't come up yet.
Yep.
So,
on a side, yeah.
Go ahead, Alex. Were you going to add something?
No. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not a Roma fan, yes, we are a bunch of fanboys.
That's why we're doing this. But
Doesn't make us any less right.
I was going to say, you could ask. I would be shocked if anybody else, fan of any other team, had anybody but Totti. Who could it possibly be? I can't think of anybody.
Yeah. I mean, he did not have the best start to the season. No. I mean, he had that long stretch where he hadn't even scored yet, and his first goal was a PK, if I remember correctly, and then he had like a longer, even longer stretch before he had his first goal from the play, you know, from the run of play. So, you know, his form, his health and shape wasn't the best. He had some injuries or whatever that were just kind of annoying enough. But, you know, kind of like last year when the big run was needed to be made, he was the guy. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I was quite impressed that he, when he picked up his form, he had lost 8 kilos,
yeah,
16 yep. pounds. And that said a lot, because he realized he had to push himself more and really, you know, make an effort. And I was quite impressed by the fact that he lost so much. And then you saw the results right after. So
two things there. One, compare that to Adriano. Two, even Totti's 6 months of what he did, I would say was better than anybody else's even entire year. So even though he had a pretty bad first 6 months, his second, well, it's not really 6 months, is it? Because it's not a whole year. But the second half of the season, I'd say he was better than anybody else was the whole season. And I'd argue that till I was blue in the face. All right, so that's enough of that. Let's go on to, we have a couple of funner questions. This one, I'm sure Lorenzo of the Palermo Offside is going to love. If we could poach one Palermo starlet, and I think the key word here is starlet, because I think to me that implied like a young player, so that rules out Cassani and Balzaretti, but maybe you guys picked them anyway. Who would you poach? And I was kind of divided. I really like Ilicic, but Pastore's younger, and I think he's arguably more talented and has more potential. So I think it's got to be Pastore, even though I don't think he had the best of matches in the Coppa Italia final against Inter. But there's no doubt that this guy he's one of the few guys around who looks like possibly he could take Totti's spot. Not that he's going to, not that he's coming to Roma, but if we could take him, I wouldn't be opposed. Not for 50 million, though.
Yeah, it's funny you made that clarification on it being starlet, because I made the comment here, if we could ever in some way consider Balzaretti a starlet at 30, I would certainly make it him. But clearly, you know, that's not kind of the game we're playing here. But I actually picked Ilicic. I, you know, if we lose Menez, he would be the closest replacement in terms of skill sets. If that is something, you know, it's again, it's so tough to do this in a vacuum, because what the directional movement of the new ownership is going to be may not call for that. So I tried to think of, all right, you know, some of the rumored names and this, would this kind of player fit in or that kind of player fit in? And it was just, you know, my head was spinning. So looking at, okay, well, who might we lose? And then how could we replace with somebody from Palermo? And Menez, Iličić, they're kind of a one-for-one.
Yeah, Pastore. I would, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I would just want to build on what Greg said. I don't think the Mercato can really begin unless we have a coach, because how are we even to know what formation we're going to play? You know, a 4-3-3 and a 4-4-2 require totally different players in terms of both the center and the wide, especially in the midfield. So I think it's going to be completely dependent upon that. If we want to go 4-3-3 next season, then maybe Iličić would be better, let's say. But if we want to go a more central route, a 4-3-1-2, I think Pastore would be better. So I would agree with Greg on that. And finally, the last category we have is player that would improve our team the most. This is pure Fantacalcio. We totally ignored price and realism. And we're supposed to give a bit of positional clarification. So, Alex, why don't you lead us off with this one?
I picked Cristiano Ronaldo.
Which is a pretty easy choice. I think he would improve just about any team.
But, I mean, it's between him and Messi. But I think that even though I prefer Messi over Cristiano Ronaldo, I think given our, you know, current style, and I don't think Tadej would help Messi, you know, play his best. And Cristiano is a pretty selfish but incredible good player. So his selfishness would do Roma very good, I think.
Gregory?
You know, I kind of cheated here again.
Classic.
And I know we're talking pure Fantacalcio and that, you know, anybody and no realism and all that, but I really, you know, I started thinking about adding just a little element of realism and looking at what the new ownership's direction seemingly is and what our needs are and what could potentially be a reality. And I know we've talked about this before when we were talking about poaching players off of teams that may be relegated in other countries. And that's and you guys are going to have to help me out here. How do you say Simon's last name?
Chef.
What is it?
Chef, if you want to say it in his words.
All right. Well, that guy. I mean, when I like this kid a lot. Having it, what you get is the guy that's going to be the anchor of your defense for years to come, but not in a way that he punishes the present. I think it would be a huge combination of skill, youth.
Greg, position. I'm sorry to cut you off, but which player is this again? I'm not sure I heard it.
Wolfsburg. Yeah.
Wolfsburg center back, Simon, whatever, Alex.
Oh, I was trying to say Kjær. I don't know how to – is it Schaff is how you say that?
I say Schaff because I'm Scandinavian.
Oh, is that how you pronounce – okay. For our listeners, he used to play for Palermo. He's like 22. Right. He's really young. He was at the World Cup, so that's the one we're talking about.
Right. That guy, like I said, that guy. Looking at the combination of youth, skill, the position he plays, coupled with the direction of the new ownership seeming to be at youth when you look at a lot of the rumors. But again, the key thing is that he doesn't hurt your present. And right. Our center back situation is, a worrisome one for the present and certainly empty for the future. So, it's obviously not going out on a limb and grabbing one of the best players of the world. But, I had to kind of put some sort of frame of reference around it for myself.
Greg, just to play devil's advocate, I was thinking two things while you were saying that. I'd love him. I think he's great. But a lot of times center backs really need two things, confidence in a way, and a young center back really needs like a great one to look up to. So my devil's advocate argument would be he was almost relegated this year with Wolfsburg. So I'm sure his confidence isn't at an all-time high. So coming into Roma, a player not confident, that's a recipe for disaster. And the other thing is, I don't think he has anyone great to learn from anymore. I would have said Juan, but Juan isn't looking like a great center back. You look at, what was that?
Well, but I mean, I think let's look at two things. This time last year, we were probably saying the same thing about Mexis, and he got himself together. Yeah. I don't think
that's
Juan is done. I think he's very capable of performing, you know, at the levels that we're accustomed to, which is pretty damn high.
Again, Juan has been working against him here, though. Juan's, what, 32, 33? He doesn't
right, and that doesn't prevent him from being able to pass on the information that he knows.
But so bear in mind,
there's still time for him to play under qualified center backs with Berdiso and Juan. And let's say we don't get another right back, and Berdiso is in that lineup with the three of them as the right back, as the right fullback. So he's able to coach on the field as they're going on. Plus, I mean, this guy, the kid knows what he's doing. What's really going to help, what would really help a young center back is not just playing with a good partner, but a good goalie that knows how to communicate with his defense.
Indeed.
That would be sorely missing.
I kind of cheated as well. I had two players. I put Vidic because I also think we need a great center back. But in my opinion, we need an experienced one where we could bring in a young kid like Simone and teach him how to become great. I mean, for example, look at Alessandro Nesta and Thiago Silva. I mean, Silva wouldn't be half the defender he was today if he didn't have the legendary, Nesta teaching him how to play. And right. I was reading an interview, and Silva said when he first got to Milan, Nesta wouldn't shut up on the pitch. He was telling him everything he knew. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we need. So I think Vidic is perfect for that. He's not old. He's experienced. He's a winner. He's got that mentality we're sorely lacking. He could teach a guy like Kjaer perfectly.
I just wanted to say that... Berdiso has this.
Yep.
That's arguable as well.
He's a warrior. He's a respectable man who, even when the team let Ranieri down, he was the one who kept he was the most professional. He's also the player who is most upset when the team loses. And
he communicates.
Yeah. Exactly.
He doesn't shut up either.
Yeah.
And Juan, he doesn't say anything. He's the quiet one. So if Simon Cher is coming to town, he won't be learning much from the quiet guy in the corner in the locker room. He will learn from Berdiso. And
I liked your comment from Risa about him. Or was that your buddy who made that? Who had that comment? Where he said that Juan doesn't talk to you, you have to go talk to him.
Yeah, I don't know where you got the comment, but he said something like that. Yeah,
I saw it on Twitter. It was a conversation I was actually having with a few different people, and for some reason I thought you were in there, but it was not. It was.
Yeah, but he's the quiet one. That's a bit weird, but perhaps. He likes it,
One other thing. Go ahead, Alex.
No, go ahead, Julian.
I was going to say the one other player I had here was Neuer from Schalke, because no offense to Schalke fans, but he's used to single-handedly saving shitty defenses from leaking goals, which is something we kind of need because, again, our defense isn't going to rebuild overnight. So we need a shot stopper, pure and simple, a guy who's going to stop shots from coming in. And right now it looks like Neuer is one of the best out there.
Yeah, and he's going to Bayern.
That's true. Well, this is pure fanficalcio. So, we're pretty close to winding down. We got a few questions, and they were mostly funny gag questions. So I'm just going to read them out unless you guys have anything else to add to our discussion.
I wrote six names, given that Di Benedetto said we are going after some around six players. And I just realized when I wrote six names I wanted to a club, I got one central defender, two fullbacks, and one goalkeeper. So that's four defensive players. And I had Lamela and Kranjčar from Tottenham. So more or less, from my six picks, I see that we have to trust in the offensive players we already have, although Lamela is perhaps a replacement for Menez. But what do you guys think? Do we need four new players in the last?
I honestly, it's a great question, Alex. Because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, so I'm glad you brought that up. All I will say is that I think that the team that starts up next season may be considerably different than the one that ends up this year. And it could be because of those six new bodies that you mentioned. And it's really been the same team for a long time now, with just a couple new parts here and there each season, because they weren't obviously couldn't afford to keep some, and they had to sell some to get, you know, another new part in. But the core, the nucleus, has pretty much been the same. And I think this is probably going to be the first year that it may not be that same core. So I don't know who or what or how, or, you know, and with all the rumors going around, what's accurate or not. But I just think that this is going to be the first year that things are going to seem a bit different. And I just want to close up that loop on that Risa comment. It was a conversation I was having with, I'm just going to use their Twitter names because I don't want to butcher the real names. So it was I Prima Punta, all one word, and Il Capitano VA, all one word, and MH Hemat 89. That's MHHEMMAT 89. We were having a conversation back and forth the other day on Twitter, and they're all fantastic guys and very good Roma fan, so follow them. So I just wanted to close that loop and give the proper credit where it was due.
Alrighty, let's go on to Twitter questions.
Good segue.
There we go. As good as they get. Al Kulib asks us, what do you think of three different players going to Roma? So to make this easy, I'm just going to assign each of us a player. That way we don't have to repeat each other. So, sure. Alex, I'm giving you Sergio Aguero. What are your thoughts?
I'm supposed to say yes or no to him, or
just, do you think it's realistic? Would you like the move? I guess whatever. It just says, what do you think of Aguero to Roma? So whatever your thoughts are.
I fancy the idea, but I won't waste too many thoughts about it because it's not realistic. And if it was, we would waste all the transfer budget just to get him. And to be honest, that's just a waste because it's not the offensive parts we need to fix.
I had the same conversation with somebody the other day, and I made the same exact argument. I'm like, yeah, it'd be great, but, you know, we'd be screwed for any other changes we wanted to make. So,
all right, Gregory Podolski, Lucas Podolski.
Yes, for the song and video alone, people, how could you not want this move? I mean, just imagine Grazie Roma after a victory is replaced with not just the song, but that video. The guy's dancing on the car. I mean, that's perfect. You know, I've always been a fan of his because most of the time I've seen him, he's wearing a Germany uniform, and the guy is absolutely lights out for his country. But if Vucinic stays, I don't see us needing to make the change because I don't think that they're very much different in terms of personality as well as skill sets. I think you're basically looking at a left-footed Vucinic. They both have their issues, and they both, you know, can come, you know, be whiny or whatever, but they're both also immensely gifted, so.
Fair enough. And the last one was Eric Lamella. My thoughts on him, I actually did a whole write-up for him for Serie A Weekly if anyone wants to read it. Basically, he's very talented. He's very young. He doesn't have a ton of experience. So if he's available for cheap, I'd like him because he plays as a trequartista and he takes a wicked free kick. I think he could learn a ton and a half from Francesco. But if we have to spend more than, let's say, 15 million, I don't think it'd be a worthwhile purchase because we don't have, you know, we have money to spend, but not a ton. And I, like you guys were saying with Aguero, it's silly to spend more money on a player than he's worth. And then you also asked us, what goalkeeper would you like at Roma? Any. That's my answer. Any. Anyone that isn't named Doni or Julio Sergio.
Harsh.
Who would you guys, did you guys want to add anything to that? Perhaps be more specific than I was?
No, man. Sirigu, Viviano, Sturari. You know.
Any of those.
Yeah. I can't pronounce the Udinese keeper's name.
Handanovic.
Yeah.
He's in there as well.
Okay. Then Norm Musings asks us a very serious question. If Toti's haircut were a song, which one would it be?
If Toti's haircut was a song?
Which song would it be?
I'm going to go with Should I Stay or Should I Go? Because it's always, you know, he had it very long for a very long time, and then he cut it short entering the World Cup after his bad injury. And since then, he can't seem to decide which side of the fence he wants to be on, the long of his youth or the short after the injury, and it kind of sits somewhere in Mulletville right in between.
Alex, is there another song you'd like to add?
I have to think about it. You go first, and I'll see if I can come up with something.
I really liked Greg's. I was thinking We Are Who We Are by Kesha, because he doesn't seem to give a shit what other people think about his hair. He just does it however he wants anyway. But Should I Stay or Should I Go, I think it's a better shout.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions on Facebook that are player specific, and Mustafa and Mark Yusuke Watanabe have been very active, along with Sil J, who's posted a couple recently as well. And I think we're probably filled with this one, so we'll jump right into those next week. So I just wanted to let you guys let everybody know that we've seen them. We recognize that they're being put out there, and we try to get out and comment on the page to let you know that we are aware. And there's some questions also about the coaching rumors as well. So I think we're going to get into all this stuff in our next recording. Hopefully some of this won't be rumors anymore and we can actually talk about the decisions. But I just wanted to at least get the Facebook crew some love as well.
Indeed.
Are you packing your stuff, Greg, while you're doing the podcast? That's rude, you know.
Packing? What do you mean packing?
It sounds like you're slamming the computer or your...
Oh, really? No, I just, due to my not great health position, sometimes I can't stay still in one position for too long, so... I have to kind of change position so the nerves don't get pinched too hard.
Half the reason I do this pod every week is to hear how Alex is going to call out Greg. And then he gives it.
That's so funny because that's the same for me.
But I just wanted to... I think we should end the show by touching one of the questions that is the four coaches that are mentioned, because... it's rumors, but that's the only thing we should touch within the next weeks, because that's the first thing that needs to be settled. And you have Luis Enrique and Deschamps as the most mentioned names, beside Pioli from Chievo and Montella, and no Ancelotti. So I'm curious. What do you guys think about it? I mean, Luis Enrique or Deschamps?
Well, really quickly, if I could jump in, that actually ties in perfectly. We had one more Twitter question from I Am Cyrax. She says, if you can't get Ancelotti, would you settle for his eyebrow? You can keep it in a glass box on the sidelines. I got to say...
That's outstanding.
Between Enrique and Deschamps, I go for Deschamps myself because he's a bit more experienced. He knows Serie A. Enrique kind of seems like a bit more experienced Montella to me. Just today he said that the job is very ambitious and he's interested in it. So that kind of confirmed the talk. I just don't know if we want to, I don't know, because it just depends on what kind of person he is. If he's going to be a pushover like Montella, it's going to be Montella all over again. If he's going to come in with a philosophy and pull a Guardiola, that's a different story. I think Deschamps is less of a risk in that sense.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely correct. And it does, again, it kind of goes, what are they trying to accomplish? If the new ownership is looking at anybody that's over the age of 30 and is thinking, whatever they give us between now and the time they retire is great, but what we're going to start focusing on is these new players building this new Roma with this new mindset and this new style of play, then I can see if that's the thought process they're going through with them going with an Enrique type. If they're looking for, you know, some kind of let's win now, which I know he's said, then maybe Deschamps is the better choice. But when you look at a lot of the players that they've been rumored with, it seems like they want to get a lot of youth in.
Yeah, I agree with you. Totally agree. I mean, if the idea with Luis Enrique is to have a philosophy like Johan Cruyff's when he had the tiki-taka implanted in Barcelona, the idea is to have this kind of philosophy with Luis Enrique, we're looking at a long-term project. And I don't know if Rome is the best place for that kind of patience, but I love the idea though. So it's kind of hard, but for a short term, and I think Deschamps would be the better choice. But I would say I would be pleased by any of those two.
I just want to add really quickly, since we're talking about, you know, people linked to the club, Lucas Podolski's agent said that he thinks Roma would be a good fit for his club, and he says he wants to talk to Sabatini about a transfer. So that does seem to be one of the rumors with a bit more substance to it. Who knows if it'll happen, but it might.
The same for the last 4 years, though, right?
That's true, but I don't know if his agent has ever said this before, that he's going to try to talk to our sporting director. So who knows? I posted a tweet before. His club stats and his country stats are like night and day almost. His country scoring record's almost one every other game, and for the club it's like one. It's like 38% of games he scores in, which is quite a drop off. So that's important to keep in mind.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I mean, he played at Bayern, so he had the talent around him. Because you know, you could look at it like, well, what's the difference? Well, maybe he steps up when he's got better talent around him, and that makes, you know, if they're focusing on, say, Klose all the time, then he finds the gaps to slip in and perform and score. But he was playing with a lot of those same players when he was at Bayern before he left. So, yeah, I can't fathom, you know, there's players in every country that do this, right? And the reverse is true also, that are terrible for national team but are great for club.
Some Italy's, people would argue that's Totti.
Well, that's a topic for a conversation for another
I'm not
day.
Saying those people are any of us, but you know, that is a common argument out there.
I think there are some very large earmarked occasions where that is very true, but I also don't think he's been as bad as
right.
people
so,
think.
Greg, you're right. Let's not go into it. This is going to start a whole other thing.
We'd have a whole other hour to talk.
Right. Maybe we should just end the podcast here on this note. We already have like an hour and 16 minutes of recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just read what the papers, some of the papers wrote for the season review since we've gone through it ourselves. Quite interesting to see that La Roma 24... Then the website had Risa on the worst player of the year, and it didn't come out that good in Il Romanista as well. I mean, Doni was bad as well, but Risa, Doni, and I think those were the guys who really got labeled as a disaster. So, what do you guys think? Should we sell him, or should we renew his contract given his bad season?
I mean, it's just tough because who do we have that could play left back right now if not Risa Castellini? I mean, he's on loan. He's going to go back to Parma, I would presume. So that would leave us with no left backs. I think
it'd be a hole that we'd have to fill then.
Right. I mean, we do need at least one left back right now, but I wouldn't mind keeping him on as the reserve.
Well,
if he'd be okay with that.
I don't think he would be. He didn't have a great year. This is true. Last year he was phenomenal, and he kind of had a little bit of Juan disease. I mean, if there was like one moment where the guy slipped behind him, the ball was in the back of the net.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do remember specific moments this year where we've conceded goals and it was entirely his fault.
Shakhtar.
Yeah, there you go. And there was at least a couple games in Serie A. I remember exactly what Greg was talking about. A ball gets chipped in, he falls down or he doesn't head it, and it goes right in the back of the net.
Right. Yeah, I mean, maybe with a different system in place and different players that allows him to play a little bit more of a game that he's comfortable with and doesn't expose him as much. You know, I'm not completely, totally ready to give up on this guy. I mean, he was one of our best players last year. Just solid coming forward and, you know, not hurting us going back. And in a couple times, he made some really great one-on-one plays defensively. So I'm not quite ready to give up on him. He's got so much talent. He's, you know, I don't think they used him so much on the free kicks anymore, and I don't know why. He had, what, 4 goals last year off free kicks, or 3 goals off free kicks, and the one header maybe was what it was. I would love to see us rethink how we're going to use him based on all the additional changes that are going to happen and keep him. I mean, worst case scenario, if you get a better defensive wing fullback that can start at left back, make him your winger. I mean, I would love to have this guy playing mid and moving forward. I understand it's a different mindset and may not be able to do it, but I think it's worth a try.
I just want to say that he did play a lot better under Montella in the old system. Yeah. And also you retweeted Chris on the Rome Offside, his articles on Jonane Riise wears short sleeves and does injury time drama. I mean, he was involved in a lot of he had some assists in the end of the season because he has the extra strength and stamina to do those runs up in
exactly. That cannot be discounted. I mean, the guy is a horse, you know. I mean, he really just does not stop. And that's why I'm nowhere near ready to give up on.
He didn't have a great season, but to call him the worst player when we have Doni, it's a bit too much, I think.
Yeah, but we do still need a new left back since Casellini, he will probably go back to Parma. So selling Riise as well, that leaves us to fill in 2 left backs. And it wouldn't make sense to let Riise go then. But I do understand those guys who says we should sell him if we get a reasonable good offer for him. That's different.
I'd agree with that, but then again, we need 2 left backs instead of 1. As long as the directors realize that, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Gregory, should we wrap this up?
I think we should. I guess you were waiting for me to do that.
Indeed.
Well, I want to say one quick thing as a part of the wrap up, and this will be just the way I sign off a little bit here. Because it's great to be back, and I certainly missed it last week. But I just wanted to say a little comment about the 2 gentlemen that I do this podcast with. I'm not going to get soapboxy here, but I operate and chair on a charity for a friend of mine that we lost on 9/11. And for our international folks, that's September 11th, 2001. Look it up if you don't know what it is. And both Alex and Julian, without asking or provocation or anything, donated to our charity. And I'm not asking anybody of our listeners to do so. I'm merely saying it to let you know what amazing guys these guys are. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I can call them friend and do this with them every week. And they're just amazing guys. I mean, Julian's just a college kid, you know, and Alex is, you know, just kind of getting his life started as well. So it's not an easy decision to make, but they both made it without question and without hesitation and without being asked. So I wanted to say thank you to you both and to let the entire listening world know what awesome people you are. So thank you.
Oh, thanks, Greg. I think you're being a bit too flattering, but it's also an honor for me to do this with you guys. So thanks to you for doing this with me every week.
I love you guys.
There we go. Alex, always right to the point.
Yes, exactly. So, great to be back. It was a great week. I loved our season review. I think, you know, we can look forward to more list-type shows if you all like them. And, you know, we look forward to having more questions on Facebook, more questions on Twitter. And don't forget our email account, lemagicast@gmail.com. And for Greg and Julian and Alex, peace. Grazie, Roma.
Ciao, guys.
Ciao.